Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jeff White with Jeff White Fitness Solutions. I'm a certified personal trainer, author, and motivational speaker. And I'd like to welcome you to my Blog Talk Radio show, Making a Difference. Now, the purpose of the show is to highlight individuals who encourage us to be the best we can be, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. In order to survive in this world, it's important to be mentally strong, and I believe being spiritually, mentally, and physically tough all go hand in hand. It's also important to actually see and interact with people who are doing something positive with their lives, because they can help educate and motivate us to do better and be better. And this is really important because our society tends to put the most attention on things that are negative. I mean, if you think about it, the lead story in the news is usually something bad that has happened, and a lot of the music that our young people listen to glorifies sex, drugs, and violence, which is not a good thing. And being bombarded with this type of negativity day after day, week after week, month after month, can really start to affect people subconsciously if they're not careful. So it's important for all of us out here, and everyone listening to this episode, to help spread the positivity. Do a good deed every day for someone, and it just reaps dividends for all of us. So this brings us to our special guest tonight. Not only is our guest being a positive influence on people's lives, she's saving them. Our guest tonight is Dr. Rebecca Allen. Now, she has a lot of letters behind her name, and if I said them all, you know, we'd just be out of time. So I'll just give you the highlights of her career. Dr. Allen is a surgeon, a breast cancer surgeon. She has dedicated her life to helping others. She is a graduate of the illustrious Howard University and completed her residency at Brooklyn Hospital Center in Brooklyn, New York. But she is now in Los Angeles, where she's running her successful practice. And the fact that she's a surgeon is more than enough to be seen as making a difference. But that's just the beginning. Dr. Allen is a big proponent on taking care of our bodies and living a healthy lifestyle. She's constantly educating men and women on lifestyle changes to help prevent cancer. She previously led walking groups in the Windsor Hills area, and she was a run coordinator for the Black Girls Running Club for a couple of years. And she's an athlete herself. She's done marathons, half marathons, and my personal favorite, triathlons over the years. She is truly leading by example, which is the best way to lead. Our good doctor here is a true inspiration, and I'm out of breath. I mean, I'm tired just thinking about all the stuff that she does. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you our guest tonight, Dr. Rebecca Allen. Welcome to the show, doctor.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, too, you know, because first of all, you're a doctor, and we all know how busy doctors are. So the fact that we have you for 30 minutes is fantastic to me. So I want to take full advantage of your time because it is extremely appreciated.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to help get the word out.
Fantastic. You know, but there's a lot of things we can talk about, but can you just tell us initially what prompted you to want to become a physician? I mean, I ask this because, you know, it's back to school time, and there are kids out there listening who may be unsure of what direction they want to go with in their lives. And, you know, listening to you and your story just might inspire them to follow in your footsteps.
Yes. When I was in school, I really enjoyed science. That was from probably 7th or 8th grade onward, and that continued into college. But I also really enjoyed the humanities, sort of interacting with people, and medicine seemed like the perfect combination of science and interacting with people. You're learning science, and you're applying your knowledge in a way that helps people.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now, the thing about it, though, is a lot of us, we don't have any outlet. We may say, oh, I like science, but, you know, there's no one else to help cultivate that liking. You know, a lot of people are geared towards certain professions, and, you know, they may feel that other professions are so far out of their league that they won't even consider it. You know, did you ever experience something like that?
I did not experience that specifically. I did have a few moments where I felt like, particularly in college, where I felt like I was outclassed with the science curriculum, but the trick there is to just break the material down into small bites and learn it one step at a time. I think the difference between when I was in school, which was so long ago I'm not even going to tell you the year, and kids who are in school in 2016 is they have access to a lot of interest groups, whether they be through social media or other internet sites, where you can maybe join a group of people who love chemistry who are in ninth grade, or a group of people who are interested in biology and specifically like biology of fish. You know, there's so many different little interest groups you can find out there through social media that I think children now, provided they have good internet access, of course, can get a hold of a lot of like-minded people much easier than we did back in the 80s and 90s.
That's very true. Yeah, they have a lot more resources available to them. But, you know, there's one important aspect of that we as adults, we have to keep in mind, and that is our influence on our young people. You know, it's great to go online and, you know, see that, but it's also important to, you know, have a mentor or someone close to you who can encourage you. Did you have something like that also?
Oh, I did. My mother is actually a pediatrician. She's a physician. She was the first black woman to graduate from her medical school at the University of Kentucky down in Louisville, Kentucky. First black woman, second black person. So I had excellent role models growing up. Now, if there are children around who don't have that kind of family support, I encourage them to try and reach out to a teacher, another student, maybe get into a summer program or a weekend program where you can find some kind of mentorship in that area, because it is critical to have support.
That's awesome. That is amazing. You had a doctor right there in your home. I mean, that is absolutely beautiful, because you had a role model right there. And, you know, that's the thing that people have to remember, especially we adults. A lot of kids don't have that someone who is so close that they can reach out and touch. So it's up to all of us to just, you know, give them that encouraging word. You know, even if we don't understand what they want to do, if we can at least just let them know, hey, you can do this, you know, I'm here to support you, you know, I think they would appreciate it. You know, I know a lot of kids, they think they know everything, especially teenagers, because I know I did. But at the same time, I was willing to listen to someone, you know, who was doing something that I always wanted to do, with something I respected. So, you know, I think that is a very important point that, you know, we as adults, we must keep in mind.
Yes, and I also think if a parent is not equipped to mentor their kid in a specific area, try and reach out through your community channels, whether it's church, gym, wherever your community lies, and find somebody who's able to help them with whatever they're interested in. Maybe they're really interested in physics. Like, I don't know a whole lot about physics, but if I have a friend, not necessarily a physicist, but maybe, you know, the guy who works in the gift shop at the Griffith Park Observatory or something like that, they may know someone who knows someone who can mentor that child.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a very important point, because, you know, I have a degree in business administration, and one thing that I learned is if you don't know how to do something, you find someone who can, or if you're running a business, you pay someone who can, you know, do the job for you. And that's something that adults, they can kind of use to their advantage. Like you just said, you may not know about physics, but you may know someone who does, and you can help get that person to reach out and mentor, you know, your child or a young person. So, you know, we all have to just keep our eyes open, because kids need our help, And I think it's even more evident today that they have to, you know, have that structure and some type of role model in their lives.
Yes, yes. And we have to be aware of the opportunities that are around us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So, Doctor, I would like to ask you, from your perspective, because, you know, as a patient, we see you guys come in, you talk to us, you write on your clipboard, and you leave. I mean, that's just my perspective. But from your perspective, how does it feel, you know, when you're helping someone? Because your job is absolutely amazing, and I know it just has to feel good to, you know, to help, you know, your patients get better. You know, what is it from your perspective when you're helping a patient?
Well, it is a very good feeling, and the clipboard and 15-minute visit, to me, make it that much more of a challenge because I've got to find out what that person needs, what's important to them, and how we can fix it, make a plan with the patient for how we together can fix it in a way that fits their lifestyle. In not necessarily 15 minutes for a surgeon, I usually have 30 minutes, but in a pretty short amount of time. You know, so you have to garner trust, foster trust with that person in a really quick amount of time. And one of the things I find that helps, look them in the eye, smile, and address them by name. Don't just say, hello, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to you. Say, hello, Mr. White. My name is Dr. Aileen. I understand you have problem X. What do you think about that? What can I do for you today regarding that? And that usually kind of forms a bond with people quickly.
It does. The simple fact that you look them in the eye and they have your undivided attention, I mean, that speaks volumes. You know, because a lot of times when you're sick, you feel alone and no one cares. Or they may, you know, claim they care, but they don't really understand. But you as a surgeon, you're there. I mean, you are there to help them, and you look them in the eye and say, hey, what's going on? How can I help you? It speaks volumes to you as a physician, as a surgeon. So I just want to commend you for that. Just from the other side of the spectrum, you know, we really appreciate, you know, everything that you're doing. So I just want to just put that out there.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that because it's a lot of work.
Oh, it absolutely is. And, you know, another thing I really respect about you, Doctor, is the fact that you are practicing what you preach. You know, like I said in your introduction, you are really into health and fitness. You know, I see your posts on Facebook. They're very positive. They're very educational, informative, and they're fun. You know, so, you know, you do a lot of different activities, different sports. How do you find the time to do everything?
Well, finding time is not easy. You have to really plan your day. I will sit on Sunday night and plan what I'm going to do for the week. So if I say I'm going to do a 10-minute workout video on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually on Sunday night, I'll flip through my fitness site and find each of those videos and then save the link to the video. So that's that set up.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then I'll use the after work time to unwind. I don't really like running with people. I do. But I prefer to run by myself after work so I can use it as multitasking time for thinking about the problems that arose during the day and how I'm going to fix them.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a nice 45-minute solo run, then that is a great time to work through some work stuff as I'm getting my exercise.
See, that's the only child in me because I like to run by myself too because I can think. You know, I'm so used to being alone sometimes that I like to just run, you know, just on my own and just think about different stuff. Let my mind just wander. So let me ask you this, Doctor. When you, what do you suggest as, you know, as a physician, as a surgeon that we do to help, you know, keep ourselves healthy?
Well, I think one of the most important things that we don't discuss enough is food.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of foods out there that are marketed as health foods that come in packets, and when you flip the ingredients over, you're reading all these funky words that I know how to pronounce because I took biochemistry for 2 years, but the average person can't.
Uh-huh.
So I really encourage everyone to eat foods that are as whole, that is as close to their natural source as possible. If you're having in the morning Pop-Tarts and orange juice, maybe switch that up and have some whole grain bread or some oatmeal, steel-cut oatmeal, with a little bit of honey. You know, you don't want the kind that's got a whole lot of sugar in it so that it tastes almost like a cookie or candy. And have some fruit and some vegetables. The American Cancer Society recommends 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. I really think that should be bumped up to 9. So try to have 4 pieces of fruit and then 5 servings of vegetables.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. You know, as a personal trainer, I believe that the body is our temple, and we have to eliminate some of these junk foods that are out there because they are, I mean, I hate to say it, they're slowly killing us. You know, we eat them every day, and I have to admit, they do taste good. They do. But
yes, they do.
But they're not good for us. And people aren't thinking long term. I mean, yes, it tastes good now, but if you keep eating that day after day, week after week, month after month, you know, by the time you're in your 40s, 50s, and 60s, you're having some major health issues, and you may not understand why, but it's because of the things you have been doing for the last 10, 20, 30 years.
Yes, yes. And they taste good, but when you start eating more naturally, your palate sort of changes. And sometimes you might have that sleeve of vanilla cookies that you used to eat. You'll bite into it after you've been eating a cleaner diet for a while, and you can sort of taste the chemicals, and they don't taste as good. Something more natural may begin to taste better as you get used to that sort of thing. So I always run into people, particularly women, who say, well, you know, I just don't like the way X, Y, or Z tastes. Skip the salt and try and season it with something that you do have a taste for. You know, if your family's from Louisiana, put some hot sauce, cayenne pepper in it and make it palatable that way. If you are from Maryland, put some of that bay seasoning in there and make it taste good to whatever your palate is accustomed to, whatever your taste buds are accustomed to.
That's a great idea. And you know what I've noticed? For every fake ingredient out there, there's a natural, healthy equivalent.
Yes.
And if you think about it, for example, when I was coming up, we had Now and Later. I don't even know if they still make those. They came in all flavors. They came in orange. They came in cherry. They came in strawberry. They came in grape. Why not just eat some fruit instead?
Yes, exactly, exactly. I was sitting at the table with my nephew. He just started third grade, and we had a big old mango. My mom, I don't know where she found this thing, but it was like Caribbean style, delicious, fragrant. So we cut some up for him, and I said, you're going to really like this because it tastes like candy. And he kind of looked at it funny, like, what is this mushy orange stuff? And then he ate it, and then he kept eating it, and then he ate half the bowl.
Yeah.
And I said, does it taste like candy? And he didn't even talk because he was so busy popping that mango in his mouth, but he nodded his head enthusiastically. So you can get your kids used to these things, to natural, really flavorful foods. Like fruit and the vegetables.
Yeah, we just have to make it fun for them. You know, one thing I tell people is just don't have it in the house. If it's not in the house, the junk food that is, you can't eat it. You know, it just don't buy it for the house.
You know, that
goes a long way. And as far as the kids are concerned, they'll pretty much eat anything. And fruit is nature's candy. That is a great way to introduce them to healthy eating.
Yes, I agree.
Absolutely. So, Doctor, I know you are an athlete yourself, and I'm a personal trainer. And there's one thing that I've run into quite a bit, and I know as a woman that you have too, and that is dealing with hair. I've had clients who have been very hesitant to do certain things because, you know, they don't want to, you know, mess up their hair. And, you know, I can understand that. But I know that you have a really big project that you're working on, you know, to address that type of thing. Do you want to talk about that just a little bit?
Oh, sure. So the project looks at hair care as a barrier in Black women specifically, because Black women used to be just in the Western world, but now all over the world, they have a cultural practice of straightening the hair texture. You know, texture starts off kinky or curly, and we go through a lot of changes to make it straight. And that those techniques that make it straight don't necessarily hold up to perspiration very well. And that is where what you just described, like women not being willing to do a certain activity comes in. You know, so if somebody just spent $70 to get their hair blown out, then they're not going to want to go do a 20-minute interval circuit because you're going to wind up real sweaty after that. And if you don't know what to do with your hair, your blowout that you just spent $70-$75 on is going to be ruined for all intents and purposes. So what my study is looking at is, one, is there a link between hair care and exercise participation? And in the first study that was published last year, we found that, yes, there was. And the project we're working on this year is how we can overcome hair care as a barrier to exercise in Black women or women of African descent.
Wow, that's interesting. That is very interesting. How do you see this project coming forward? Do you see a lot of changes possibly being made from the study and the way people, you know, look at exercise and hair care?
Yes, I think there are two things that are going to evolve from it. Women do not seem to know a lot about how to care for their hair during two types of exercise. One is heavy exercise, like the interval training that we just talked about, where you're working up a sweat. The other is water exercise, like swimming. We've seen, you know, in the Olympics, we have Simone Manuel, first gold medalist. There was a wonderful Black diver on the Canadian team named Jennifer Abel. So Black women are out there doing it, and they're doing it beautifully. They look great afterwards, but there's still this perception in the community that if I take part in sports like that, that my hair is going to be messed up to a point where the social cost to me is going to be high. I mean, we saw the ridicule that Gabby Douglas suffered from, even though she's this world-class gymnast and people are fussing about how her edges look sweated out. But, hey, she's an athlete. She's a pro. This is her job. She's supposed to go out there and sweat.
Yeah, I mean, she can't be on the balance beam, you know, with her flying all over the place. I mean, I just make
right.
her fall and, you know, she'll get point taken off.
Right.
So, you know, I look at it like this. Of course, I really can't speak on the subject, but I can say this, though. There's nothing more important than our health. I mean, it's nice to have a really nice hairstyle, but if your blood pressure is through the roof, if your cholesterol is bad, you know, if you're diabetic, a nice hairdo is not going to cure what ails you. You have to eat right and you have to exercise. So you have to make some type of adjustment. And it's where your study is so important because if women can see that, you know, hey, I can exercise and I can still, you know, with some concessions, you know, have a really nice hairdo, you know, I can be all for that. And it's a win-win for everyone. So this is very important.
Yes, yes, it is. And we're not saying that women can't have nice hair and work out as well. You can have a nice a flat iron. You can have a nice perm. You can have nice braids. You can have a nice weave, and you can still work out. So one of the things we're talking about in the second study are some methods for preserving those hairstyles that are not as sweat-proof as maybe a short natural or individual braided style. And one of the things women can do is bind the hair tightly. You want to put it in tight ponytails, not necessarily one loose, cutesy, flopping around ponytails, but maybe six or seven little ponytails wrapped really tightly with ponytail holders, and then leave those in place until your scalp dries. If you take them out before the scalp dries, then the roots will shrink, just like they would if you left your hair out. But if you leave the hair stretched out in that stretched kind of configuration, that stretched out position until it dries, most women have pretty good result. It's not going to be salon fresh, but it's going to look pretty good. You know, you'll still be able to wear it down and wear it out the next day or that evening if you're working out in the morning. So there are solutions, and there are solutions for every type of hairstyle out there.
Oh, that's great. See, you know, your side gig should be, you know, working in a hair salon. But you got to make time for that. I don't know if you have time, but, hey, that's some good money making and doing hair.
Man, you're right, it is, because I pay my lady cash every time.
But, yeah, this is very important information that people really need to know because, again, they may not know about this information. They may not know that there are different things that they can do, you know, for their hair. So this is excellent information. You know, and this is why you're making a difference. You know, you're making a difference on several fronts. So, you know, this is just great information for everyone to hear about.
Oh, yes. I want people to know there's no reason to skip, like you said, to skip out on your health when you're worried about how your hair looks. You can do both. You can have both.
Exactly. And on top of that, there are still some exercises that people can do that really won't affect their hair. You know, and I tell people all the time, one of the best exercises out there that is very, very underrated is simply walking. Walking is a fantastic exercise, but people, they think that they have to do high-intensity type training every single time they work out, and that's just not true.
I love walking. Well, twice a week I do fasted cardio in the morning, and that fasted cardio is usually a 30-minute walk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Brisk pace, but not enough to work up a sweat. You know, I can still talk. I could talk on the phone. I talk to my neighbors. So it's definitely excellent exercise.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I think there was a story in the news about a man who lost a couple hundred pounds by walking every day to Walmart, or every time he wanted to eat, he walked to Walmart and he bought fresh food.
Mm-hmm.
So not only did he throw out the junk food and go and get fruits and vegetables at his local, I guess it was a Walmart superstore, but he also walked a mile there and a mile back three times a day. So by walking 6 miles and changing his diet, he was able to lose a couple hundred pounds. I mean, he lost a whole person and is now in much better shape.
I believe that. I did not see that story, but I totally believe it. And part of the reason that works is because the body is not meant to sit all day like we do. A lot of us, we have these desk jobs, and we're sitting 7, 8, 9 hours. And then we get in our car, and we drive home. And then we get home, and we sit on the couch, and we may watch TV, we eat dinner. We're sitting a lot, and our bodies are made to move. So any type of movement is beneficial to our health, even just walking upstairs repeatedly, you know, throughout the day at work, of course, or just walking anywhere. That gets the blood flowing. You know, that can help loosen up tight muscles. It can help the back. So there are many different benefits to walking and just different exercises that people can try if they're just open-minded to doing them.
Yes. And it's also good for your mental health, for your emotional health. Any kind of movement you can get. If it's outside, that's great. But if you're just taking 10 minutes out of every, you know, if you're sitting there binging a Netflix show, just take 10 minutes and get up and march in place for 10 minutes while you're watching it. You know, that way you can multitask, you can double down on your time and get some sort of movement in that's going to be good for your health.
Exactly. I even tell people during commercial breaks,
yes,
do 25 jumping jacks.
Yes.
All those little things are fantastic just to, you know, get some good exercise. So anything we can do, we need to just try and do it.
Yes, absolutely. And it doesn't have to cost a lot either, you know, walking around or doing the exercises while you're watching TV. That's free for all intents and purposes. So.
Exactly. So, Doctor, I'm really happy to have you on because you are a physician and you are telling people these things. You know, I'm just a personal trainer. I'm a nobody.
No, you're not.
See, they'll listen to the doctor. When a doctor says it, because you have all those letters behind your name that just take too long just to sing them out, you know, they listen to you. So, you know, I just want to commend you for just saying everything that you did because it's so important that we all have to just know these.
Oh, thank you. Well, they listen to you too because you're kind of that brother man trainer, kind of like the guy next door, the guy they grew up with. So you keep doing what you're doing too.
Oh, I'll never stop. So is there any way people can reach you? Because you have a lot of really good information. Is there any
sure.
way people can get in touch with you?
Sure. They can follow me on Twitter, and it's Becky, B-E-C-K-Y, A-L-L-E-Y-N-E, M-D. That's my Twitter handle. Or you can follow me on Facebook under Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Aline, M-D, Incorporated.
Excellent. Well, Doctor, our time is just about up. I sincerely thank you again for just taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. your voice is definitely needed, and it is well deserved to listen to you, because a lot of people just don't understand the importance of eating healthy and exercise. But, you know, thanks to people like you, we are stepping in the right direction. And I also want to say I really commend you on your positivity, and you just being a great role for everyone out here in the country. So, Doctor, I want to thank you. And everyone listening, thank you so much. And, Doctor, you have any more last words?
Oh, no, it's just my pleasure to be on the show and get the word out. Everybody stay healthy.
Thank you, Doctor. Everyone, this is Jeff White making a difference on Blog Talk Radio, and we will talk to you soon. Okay, Doctor, we are done.
Okay. Yay. Well, thank you. That was fun.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.